to you.
This is Ted Brewer. Welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. We're going to have a blast today. We're going to have fun today. We're going to talk about all kinds of neat things today. So, hello. It's the 30th of January. Florida State's about to play, I believe, tomorrow. Aren't they, Austin, at noon?
Yes, I think so.
Sorry to drop that.
It hasn't been our best season. I've not been too impressed.
Well, I mean, we lost two games, and one of them was by a ridiculous field goal that got kicked, and it kind of went down. But no, I graduated from Florida State three times and had a blast up there. It was a great school to go to. The problem is, it's a very secular university. And I got saved there in graduate school at Florida State. You know that, Austin. And so, gosh, it's been a long time since I've been to school there. Obviously, the last time I was there was back in 1980 as far as a student. And I lived there for about three more years. And then I moved down to Central Florida in 84. So I've been down here for, gosh, over 30 years now. So your mom and I have been married for 32 years. So we've been married a long time. We've been really blessed. So it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, but I just want to say, go FSU, man. We have nothing to try to win, but you know, there we go. We've already lost the ACC championship. But the one thing about it is last night I was watching North Carolina was stomped on by Stanford. And, it was interesting because, you know, North Carolina was the other ACC, champion. They played for the ACC championship against Clemson, and Clemson beat them. So I'm hoping that Clemson's going to be showing pretty good against either Alabama or the other team that wins this. So we'll see what happens, Oz. It'll be an interesting set of playoffs this year anyhow, because I'd love to see Clemson win since they beat us up in Clemson this time, but not by much. Florida State's a little better team than you think. What's your first story?
First story, I wanted to give everybody, some positive stuff. Here's the story up in Ohio, excuse me. Basically, three men, I'll read you a story here. A woman home alone with her two children was doing laundry when three armed home invaders kicked in the door at her home in Atlas Road in Trotwood, Ohio. And basically, the story was they came in, demanded that she take them to the money. She took them to the back where her safe was. Two of them tried to steal the safe while one of the victims held her at gunpoint. She was able to get away and grab a gun that was hidden in one of her drawers and started firing shots at the suspect. One suspect was hit and killed by the gunfire and was later found outside the house by Trotwood police. Police say the deceased is a male in his 20s from the Dayton area and that he was in the yard between the victim's home and another house, still armed with a Tech 9 submachine gun. Now, apparently, you know, stunned to face armed opposition, like most people are, none of the three armed thugs even got a shot off. They completely ran for their lives. The two individuals are still at large. The one individual did die at the hospital. So I thought it was interesting. Now, I can't confirm anything that it was actually a Tech 9 submachine gun, which is a 9mm magazine-fed automatic pistol, essentially. They make variants of those that are semi-automatic. But if this individual was carrying a true Tech 9 submachine gun, which is fully auto, and he got taken out by a mom in her house with a pistol, he's pretty pathetic. So I'm glad she had a stunt and she had a weapon in the house. I'm pretty excited to hear that. And another reason on why we all need to have firearms in our house.
Well, you know, Austin, it's funny. If anybody ever broke into my house, they'd have a... it would be bad. I mean, because, you know, we have, you know, we keep our guns safe and they're all locked up and everything else. But, you know, when you sleep at night and all the kids are all safely put to bed, you know, I've got a gun there at the nightstand. But other than that, we keep them locked up, or unless I'm concealed carrying. But the crazy thing about all of this stuff is that, you know, how in the world was this lady supposed to protect herself? You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. And I've seen that over and over again. I remember, oh gosh, I'm not going to tell you my bar stories when I was a kid. That's something I have some horrible stories on that. But I mean, I've seen people get shot and knifed and gutted, and it's awful. And so the reality is, whoever has the knife usually loses the gunfight. and so it's crazy. But the reality is, people need to understand that there are bad people out there that do bad things. I mean, there are people out there that attack people all the time, you know, online. You know, we've got cyberbullying. We've got that going on all over the place all the time. You know, we've got people trying to walk in love, and people are trying to be mean to them, to the point that I remember last year, cyberbullying was so bad at our church, we actually had a girl commit suicide, Austin. It was awful here in Lakeland from the cyberbullying. And so a lot of communities now have passed laws against that. And so what we all need to realize is this. You know, if we claim to be Christians, okay, if we do that, we really need to walk in love. We need to basically, you know, love one another. We need to serve one another. We need to be understanding of one another, and we need to forgive one another. And if one of us makes a mistake, you know, or I make a mistake, or you guys make a mistake, or Austin makes a mistake, or anybody makes a mistake, you got to be there to forgive quickly, because if you don't, what ends up happening, you get a seed of bitterness in. And what happens with that seed of bitterness is it starts to grow. And when you get a seed of bitterness, you start building cortisol up in your body. When you get cortisol up in your body, you start having autoimmune diseases. You know, things like, you know, you get like lupus. There's a whole host of autoimmune diseases we've talked about in length on the Hagman shows. And what's interesting about this is it's that bitterness and that hatred and that just trying to force your will on other people that can really affect people. Let me give you an example today. Now, this is kind of a sad story, but I'm going to tell you the story. And Austin, you don't even really know about this very much. I mentioned it to you, but I'm going to go into detail real quick. I have a guy who's been doing yard maintenance for me now for about a year. A good guy. And I'm not going to mention his name because it would be embarrassing to him. And he's a really nice gentleman, and he's a black man. He's a black gentleman, very nice guy. And he came to me today, and he said, "Mr. Ted, I've got to talk to you." And I said, "What's going on?" And he goes, "Well, I need to talk to you for a few minutes." And I said, "Okay." And so before it was over with, I spent 2 hours with him here at the house, praying with him and just encouraging him. And just basically, I called his son, who's 11 years old, out of the car, and I told him, I hugged him, and I told him that, you know, we loved him. Good kid, oh, good kid. He's a winner, boy. He's a winner. And I remember he told me, he said, "You know, Ted, I've got a problem." I said, "What's that?" He goes, "My wife has a girlfriend." And I went, "Oh, gosh, this is awful. You know, let's just call him. We're going to call him Joe. Joe's not his name." I said, "This is awful, Joe." And he said, "Well, I don't know what to do. You know, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and you know, she's not going to go to church anymore, and she's emptied out the bank account. I don't know what to do." And the little boy's sitting there just crying, bless his heart. And so I walked over to the little boy. I said, "Stand up." I said, "I'm going to hug you." And I hugged him, and I prayed with him. And I said, "Buddy," I said, "this isn't your fault. You didn't do this. You had nothing to do with any of this." I said, "This is just the world and the world system right now. It has become so incredibly evil." And so we sat there, and I talked to him and his little boy for 2 hours, Austin, and we finally finished it up in prayer. And I felt so bad for him, because what's happened is this internet pornography, this internet junk, this media with Miley Cyrus and all the stuff that they do, and how saying she's pansexual and all this stuff now, and all of this filth and perversion that's being just promulgated throughout the entire society, through the internet, through some churches even, you know, with their acceptance of, you know, of alternative lifestyles, it's all starting to catch up to us, and it's starting to snowball. So now we have a woman who's 50 or 42 years old, multiple kids with this guy, has basically moved in with her girlfriend and emptied out the bank account, left her children with not even having any money to pay the rent. I mean, it's sad. But see, this is what I've talked about so many times on Doug's show and on Hodge's show and on this show, is that we all have to realize this is not a battle of flesh and blood that we're involved in. It's about all these unseen dimensions and these heavenly wars that are going on. That's what's happening. You know, if I say something, you know, about a certain thing that I believe, and someone says, "I disagree with you," okay, I'm okay with that. But you can't turn it into this giant kicking parade and trying to beat each other down by it. And so finally I told Terrell, I said, she said, "Well, I've been telling her every day she shouldn't be doing this, she shouldn't be doing this." I said, "It's not going to work." I said, "The only thing you can do is pray for her and tell her that she can't have that kind of mess in your house, and that, you know, you don't want the kids being affected by it, and that she just needs to do what she's going to do until she gets right with God through the Holy Spirit." And he goes, "Well, I haven't done it that way. I've been trying to force her to not do it." And I said, "That won't work." I said, "You can't do that. It's like trying to force somebody to get saved." And one of the biggest problems that she has, and I see this all the time, and I used to see it all when I was in practice, and I used to see up to 40 patients a day back when I was a state licensed nutritionist here in Florida. I remember I'd always see it with women getting in their mid-40s, early 40s, late 40s, whenever they go into full-blown menopause, it really starts messing with their hormones. And in fact, I know one doctor once said that the term hysterectomy was originally, and I'm not seeing this in the literature, but this is what he said, and I don't have any reason to doubt him was telling the truth. He said it was originally termed and coined hysterical ectomy, in which women, when they start going through the change of life through menopause, a lot of times they become so hysterical and their personalities change so much that they'd go in there and they'd basically chemically, well, they wouldn't chemically castrate them, they would castrate them via a surgery. Because remember, the ovaries in the body are what become the testicles in the man. So when you take a woman's ovaries out, you chemically, you surgically castrate her. And so women, listen to me. My wife wrote a whole article in our latest book, Breakthrough Health, a whole chapter on there on menopause and what she did to get over it. when she went through the change of life and through the menopause for about a year, and Austin remembers this. I think Austin was about 15, 16 years old. I mean, it was awful. She was just arguing about everything. In fact, Austin finally said, you know, gosh, I'm glad I'm living on campus at Southeastern, not dealing with all this. Do you remember that, Austin?
Yes.
Because it was that bad. And finally, we got her stabilized with the right supplements and the right nutrition and the cod liver oil and the 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan and the B vitamins and the B6. And she went back to complete normal again after about 2 or 3 months using that protocol. And that protocol is available. I believe we have it posted online, don't we, Oz?
Yes, sir, we do.
Yeah, if you go to healthmasters.com, it's there. So, ladies, gentlemen, listen to me. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus at all time. You know, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary, okay? He came in the flesh. He came to redeem us from the curse of the law. He was the second Adam. And people need to understand that. And we have to understand who Christ is. And we have to understand that it's in Him that our being and that we have. Read the first chapter of Hebrews. It really goes into that. But, you know, I just want you guys to know that, you know, we love you. And if you're experiencing any of this over the holidays or if you've had a death or whatever, you know, just drop us an email. We'll pray for you. I'll be more than happy to do that because, you know, we're here for you. And, oh, by the way, thank you for all the orders on Purple Sticks yesterday. I had no idea, Austin, that we had such a pent-up demand on Purple Sticks. We talked about it on the show yesterday. We had so many of them go out the door this morning, I couldn't believe it. And again, I want to just encourage you, if you do like the Purple Sticks, which are the green tea drink that I use every single day in the morning when I get out of bed, if you want to use that product, I recommend you get them now, because at the way they're selling, they're going to be out of stock again in a couple of weeks, and then we'll be waiting who knows how long for the manufacturer to make some more. So get as many as you'd like. There's no limit on them right now. Once we start running low on inventory, we'll have to put a limit on them again. I know one guy, Sonny, he ordered 9 boxes of the things. He ordered 10 boxes. Well, because if you wait long enough for something, you don't want to run out again. He's doing what I did. I ran out of the office with 4 boxes yesterday saying, I'm not running out of these again. So anyhow, so what's your next story, Oz? The website is healthmasters.com. Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I've been reading a little bit about this for the last couple of years. I thought I would touch on it because there's definitely been a lot of speculation. I had a friend of mine bring it up to me yesterday about these giant mega cities in China that are completely empty. I'm talking like huge, giant cities, like the size of like St. Louis, size of Atlanta, with nobody in them. Over the past 15 years now, China has built hundreds of new cities, expanded thousands of urban areas, and wiped over 1 million villages off the map and urbanized room for hundreds of millions of people. It's a development boom that's incomparable to anything that any other country has ever tried to attempt. And I looked at some of the photos online. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, we're talking these giant megacities. They said they've built enough floor space to completely cover Hong Kong twice over, which is being constructed in China's cities each year. Yet, despite the fact that 250 million more people are expected to move into cities by 2030, get that again. Remember I told you guys yesterday, this article goes again on 2030. Same reference back to the UN Agenda 21 referencing the 2030. This is like the fourth article I've read now in the past week that references back the population and basically population density control to 2030. It says even though the demand for modern housing is huge, an incredible amount of apartments are completely currently vacant. At a rough estimate, there's around 600 million square feet of floor space still unoccupied, enough to completely cover Madrid. So if so many people need homes in China's cities, why are there so many that are left empty? And it goes into all these photos and everything that basically has been going on and everything they've been building. And I just thought I would bring that up to you guys because this is very interesting. I mean, you're talking about housing to house millions and millions and millions of people. Now, some people are speculating that they wanted to try and boost the housing economy and build stuff early for future population increase. But this is interesting. I don't know where this is going. I don't know what the whole reason. The fact that they bring 2030 again into this article, though, is very odd to me. Just for the fact that it keeps getting brought up. And, I mean, what if this, like I said, this is complete and total speculation on my part, but just an idea or a theory. What if they've been building all this to bring people in there that essentially they don't want in other countries? You know, I mean, like, what if they say there's some type of, you know, political dissonance in the United States? You get shipped off to a megacity in China. But my question is, if we have no place to put all these people from Syria and the Middle East, why don't we start putting them in these giant high-rise mega apartments that have nobody in them? That seems like it would be a lot more efficient than stuffing them into Germany's towns with 300 and 400 people in a little village. Just my opinion.
Well, number one, Austin, China didn't invite them in. Germany did. Now, Germany's trying to slam.
That is true.
Germany's trying to slam the door. Secondly, you know, there's a lot of theories behind that. Again, it could be because what happened is they were growing their economy like 7% a year. I was in Beijing. Oh, gosh, it must have been 15 years ago now, maybe 14, 13 years ago. I don't remember. It's back when you were Southeastern. And I remember you missed that trip over there. And I remember I was sitting in Beijing and we were at this park and I looked around me and we were a few miles out. So we were kind of like in this little area where they actually had a jade boat. And of course it wasn't floating, but it was sitting there. And but it was this little park we had gone to. And I remember looking around and counting like, gosh, as far as the eye could see, as polluted as it was, I could see 50 high rise buildings going up with cranes. This is 50. I'm talking 50 huge structures like the Empire State Building going up. And I thought to myself, what the heck are these people doing? What are they building all this stuff for? And then we were going through the Shanghai Harbor, and I remember we were about 20, 30 miles offshore, and the sea fog rolled in, or what we thought was sea fog. And the closer we got, the worse it got. And finally we realized it wasn't sea fog. It was the pollution pouring off the mainland China. It was so bad you had to literally close the sliding door in the room from the outside because the air quality was so bad. And they were recommending that we use wet washcloths over our face if we went downtown, like wear masks. And I mean, all these people running around with wet washcloths in Beijing, and you literally couldn't see more than 100 yards. It was so unbelievably bad in Shanghai. And I thought to myself, this is absolutely nuts. And so then we were going through the shipyard there in Shanghai, and there are all these huge, huge, huge ships being built, one after another, after another, after another, after another. I'm talking the ones that transport the giant containers, and they were massive. I mean, our ship was, you know what, big? It was probably 60,000, I think it was 60,000 tons. And I remember, you know, which is a nice little cruise ship, but it's not very big. And I remember these ships were so big, Austin, that we were looking up like we were looking at a giant skyscraper going by them. They were that large. And I thought to myself, wow, this ship is being dwarfed. And that was the China economy when they were pushing and pushing and pushing, and they were actually trying to take over all the manufacturing, which the United States has pretty much let them do. Because remember, the United States is the largest manufacturing economy in the world. And then we've exported all of our jobs to Mexico, to South America, and to China. And now China's pretty much taken that over. The problem is they won't even run scrubbers on their smokestacks. Let me explain to you what that means. This technology is 60, 70 years old. And what they do is when they're running coal-powered fire plants, you know, electrical plants, or even steam-generated plants, anything they want to run, they can put a screen on top of the smokestack. And then it's like a bunch of wet brushes. And those are called scrubbers. And they go back and forth as the smoke's coming out, and they take all the particulate out. So you have hot air escaping, but all the particulate matter is left inside of the scrubbers, or it's discharged at the base of the smokestack, which can be discarded at a later date. But it doesn't go into the air. This is why when they were releasing so much sulfur dioxide in the smokestacks out of Canada, they were causing this massive acid rain that was coming across Detroit. It was actually pitting vehicles in the parking lots. That's one of the reasons that when you see these cars being shipped now, they're shipped with this white plastic all over them, because the rain has become so acidic in some of these areas that if the water gets on the paint, it etches into the metal and into the paint. That's why you see that being done on these ships with cars, and also in vehicles with cars, because of acid rain. So this technology that's been around since the 40s and 50s with these scrubbers is readily available. It's super inexpensive, but China refuses to use it. Yet we want to go and do our treaty accord and all the stuff that we're doing in Europe this past month in Paris, thinking we're going to correct the world's pollution problems and stop global warming, if you believe that, you know, by changing this out, but not involving China. China is the world's largest polluter. They say it's the United States. That's a complete and total lie. I've got a friend of mine who just came back from China last week. He said he's in Las Vegas right now, and he told me, his name is Michael, he's got a company over there, he told me that it was so bad when he left his city that he lives in, you couldn't see 100 feet, Austin. He said they were closing the interstates down because it was not even safe to drive. That's what China's doing to the planet, and that's how polluted it is. But now, as far as these mega cities, let's go back to those. If they're not being used to basically, you know, house the population of the planet, which they haven't been being used for that. Bob Fletcher, I watched any video that he did. He thinks there may be a major catastrophe coming our way, which could wipe out a lot of the coastal lands, and he believes that they've been built in preparation for that. So now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. It goes back to that whole theory with Planet X that we've been listening to for the last 50 years, and Bob Fletcher did a whole bunch of stuff on that. Now, whether he's right or wrong, I have absolutely no idea. I'm just saying that's what he said. But that's why he said, Austin, they're building it, because when the coastal areas get wiped out, these people are going to have a place to live.
Well, that's definitely a plausible theory. I mean, like you said, I have no idea the validity of any of it, because it's all speculation on all of our parts. But it definitely seems pretty odd that, I mean, even if, you know, there was a housing boom, even if they were expecting a higher population increase, they massively overbuilt these areas. And as you know as well as I do, you know, things have to be constantly maintained. I mean, just because you build a brand new car, if you leave it out in the parking lot for 15 years, you go out there, it's going to be dead. The tires are going to be flat. The hoses are going to be, you know, all cracked and brittle. The engine's probably not going to start. So, I mean, to build these things that far in advance for population increase seems a little bit premature on my, just in my opinion. So some other deep-seated reason why they're doing this definitely seems like it's plausible. But again, like I said, it's speculation on all our parts. All I know is it's pretty crazy when I look at these videos. And
we know that we haven't built the big cities, but we've built these massive, massive complexes of underground bunkers. I mean, yeah. Huge. I mean, cities. We built cities under the ground with trillions and trillions. You know, Catherine Austin Fitz says that's where a lot of the money has gone, basically, was for this, was to build huge. I mean, she said there's over almost $40 trillion missing. In her videos, that's what she says now. She was former head of housing for the United States, like a, you know, she's like a cabinet level position, so she's a pretty sharp girl. And she basically says that there's a major, major problem. In fact, I need to bring her on the show one time, Austin, and have her talk. But the craziest thing about it is the biggest problem we have here, you know, it's like this. Let's talk to Christians now. Now, believers, listen to me, because a lot of you are been listening to me for years. You've been customers for years, and thank you. I appreciate that. But you guys are different because you're listening to what we're saying. A lot of Christians, if you start talking about theoretical physics, or you start talking about quantum mechanics, or anything, and you start talking about the Bible, you know, and trying to relate the two together, they get mad because they're saying it's heresy. Well, it's not heresy to try to explain how the universe works, as long as you're tying it back to God's Word as far as how it does. And I've been able to do that a lot on the Hagman shows, and because it takes so much time to do that. And Austin, you know, I have literally spent hundreds and hundreds of hours in research doing that. And so that's what I'm trying to tell you right now, guys. When we bring a theory like Bob Fletcher and he says something like this, I have no idea if it's true or not. But the point is this. There's a reason we have deep underground military bases all over the United States, and they actually have tunnels that connect them. There's a reason for that. There's a reason that we have Jesse Ventura doing on that show he did a few years ago and actually going into one of these giant underground facilities up in Missouri. There's a reason we've actually seen it now with semi-trucks going in and out of it. So these are all true statements that are being made and being done by our government. If they know something is coming and they're not telling us, shame on them. Because reality is, I don't really want to be on low ground either, you know. But the point is, if their whole goal is to reduce the population of the planet, maybe that's what they're planning on doing. But it doesn't make any sense. The megacities, the giant underground complexes, and Russia's also building underground complexes. So it's kind of interesting to me. But then the other thing is this. We literally have thousands and thousands of amateur astronomers all over the planet with their telescopes aimed in the sky all the time. And I haven't seen any legitimate evidence yet by any of these astronomers that there's actually some planetoid object approaching us. I haven't seen any of that. Now, whether or not they can't see it because they're on the wrong, they're not in the infrared spectrum or whatever, I don't know. But the reality is this. I know who my Redeemer is. And I know who I have my hope. And I know that I'm a son of God. And that basically, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. I know that. And, you know, and so I don't have to walk in fear from any of this. So don't allow any of this stuff to mess with your head. Just realize that God's in heaven. He's still in charge. Prayer still changes things. And we need to realize, hey, we all need to have unity of the believers, unity in Christ, and understand that this is what we need to be doing as a team, as a Christian team, which Coach Dobelmeyer talks about so carefully. And we need to be building one another up and basically encouraging one another. And hopefully that's what we're able to do in the show. What's your next story, Austin?
Absolutely. The one that, you know, is definitely a story here that's pretty interesting. You know, I used to have a buddy that I grew up with, and he was, you know, state wrestling champ in high school. We've talked about him on here a few times. Real big boy, real strong, real aggressive. And he basically tried to go into the Marine Corps and the Army when I was getting ready to go in the Marines. for OCS program that I didn't end up doing, but I was did the start of it, and he tried to go in, and they basically rejected him because he had been on Adderall, which is four-stage amphetamine salts for ADD. It's prescribed for ADHD, but it, I mean, it's almost identical to cocaine in its molecular makeup. It's funny because he was on Adderall for about 8 years, pretty much through middle school and all of high school, and when he tried to go into the Army and the Marines, they both basically said, we can't take him. He's been on, you know, a Schedule II amphetamine salt half of your life, and essentially we don't want you. And now an article has just come out now by the Washington Times, a shocking 7 out of 10 potential Army Reserve candidates now are unfit to serve their country due to either obesity, prescription drugs, or other reasons. According to an Army recruiting statistic compiled last year, 71% of young people wanting to join the military would fail to pass service tests because of their physical, moral, or cognitive shortcomings. Captain Eric Connor, a U.S. Army Reserve Command spokesman, said the majority of applicants fail to meet the recruitment standards due to mental, moral, or physical reasons. Also, excessive amounts of tattoos also impact their ability to join, as do weight and prescription drug problems. And it basically goes in here to discuss how they don't want these kids coming in here that are hooked on, even if it's legally prescribed, Adderall or opiates or Xanax or Prozac or any of this stuff, because it basically makes them too unpredictable. And also, too, they're having such an issue with kids not being able to pass the physical just from a agile strength standpoint. They can't get their pull-ups, they can't get their sit-ups, they can't even get close to getting their runs in. And every year the Army has been basically lowering the standard for the physical rating, and they still can't get kids in here now. So I thought that was interesting that our younger generation now has been compromised by prescription drugs so bad that now the U.S. Army is not even taking the 71% now of last year.
I didn't know it was that bad.
You know, I didn't know it was either.
but you got to remember, in some classrooms, there are actually more children taking Ritalin or Adderall than there are kids who are not.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s when I used to do all those big seminars, 20, 30, 40,000 people, and I was on the platform with Bush and Schwarzkopf and all those guys. I used to always ask people to raise their hands if they knew kids or had kids that basically been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, and invariably every single hand would go up in the place. There's 10, 15, 20 million children, if you get actual numbers, per year that are taking these different types of drugs. And the sad part about it, Austin, when you start taking amphetamine salts like this, these are super addictive drugs. They're Schedule II. They're in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. And the sad part about this is these kids get on these drugs, and their parents put them on these drugs because some teacher said they need to be on it. There's no medical testing to prove they even have this disease. And now the man who came up with this ADD diagnosis, he died in a hospital in Berlin before he died. Not in Berlin. I'm not sure. It was in Germany somewhere. And I've talked about it on the show before. I don't have the notes in front of me. And before he died, he said he made up the entire diagnosis and basically it was made up to sell more pharmaceuticals. And see, the reality now, though, is because we have all this problem with the GMO foods, because we have all the problem with the glyphosate and the Roundup, we have a lot of kids that are really are starting to suffer physically, and a lot of these kids are being put on medications. And a lot of people now don't realize what fluoride has done and how it's basically lowered IQ points and standards. Let me read this article real quick. This is another one on mental health. It says that natural alternatives to anti-anxiety drugs, this is an article out of Mental Health. It says anxiety has reached epidemic proportions in the United States with over 40 million people affected. Anxiety disorders cost the U.S. more than $42 billion a year, almost one-third of the country's total mental health bill. Every year, millions of prescriptions are written for anti-anxiety drugs like Xanax and Ativan, making them some of the most commonly prescribed drugs. They belong to a group of drugs known as benzodiazepines. This is the same drug that Sharon's brother had in his body, in his blood, when I read the autopsy report. He had cocaine, heroin, and bennies in there, benzodiazepines. These drugs can stop anxiety or a panic attack in its tracks. Relief is experienced quickly, often within 30 to 60 minutes, and generally lasts 10, 12 hours. While these drugs may seem at first like a miracle if you struggle with anxiety, there are many reasons to avoid taking them if at all possible. As the Chinese saying goes, the bigger the front, the bigger the back. And these drugs have a really, really big back. Benzodiazepines like Xanax come with a very long list of side effects, including drowsiness, dizziness, weakness, confusion, unsteady. Other side effects include depression, disorientation, headaches, muscle confusion, mental confusion, irritability, aggressiveness, memory loss, sleep issues, long-term risk and increased risk of dementia. One study found that more benzodiazepines you take cumulatively, the greater your risk of Alzheimer's disease. Now, remember when we did that show a few months ago, we had the one guy who worked on drug rehab, and he said that Xanax was more difficult to come off of than heroin, and more people died coming off of it than heroin, which that's crazy. But here's the problem. Anti-anxiety medications are designed for short-term use only, a few weeks or months at best, since they are highly addictive. After 4 to 6 months, they generally stop working, which is typical of any addictive substance. Users develop a tolerance, needing more and more and more to get the same effect. And so it says if you decide to quit taking Xanax, you can expect a series of pretty severe withdrawal effects, including anxiety, insomnia, restlessness, muscle tension, irritability, suicide. But you are right if you notice that it sounds like these reasons you take in the first place. And that's true, but it can be much worse. Some users experience depression, nausea, blurred vision, sweating. They hallucinate, they have delusions, and they have seizures. I mean, these are really, really, really strong drugs. And then it goes on to say, there are certain groups of people who should never take these drugs. You should never take benzodiazepines if you're pregnant, over 65, or prone to addictions. You should never take them if you drink alcohol or take other drugs, either prescription or recreational. Benzodiazepines send over 100,000 people to the emergency room every single year. Over 80% of these visits are due to interactions with other drugs or alcohol. In rare cases, it is fatal. And so that's why I was going to talk to you today. If you take B vitamins, 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan, cod liver oil, okay, if you soak your feet in magnesium, you take magnesium chloride, there's a foot bath, and you take vitamin D3, K2, you just do a few supplements like that, 4 or 5 supplements a day. Oh, God, you feel so good all the time, Austin. And I remember I had a good friend of mine a few years ago. His name is Mike. He came over. I didn't know him at this point. Another friend brought him over, and he was suicidal. And I told him, I said, and his son had died on a motorcycle. And I told his friend, I said, you know, you need to take him to a psychiatric ward. He goes, well, we already did that. You know, he's gotten suicidal from the drugs they were giving him. And I said, well, you're going to have to work with the medical doctors as far as taking him off the drugs. I said, if you want me to try to help his brain chemistry to feel better, I'll do that. So we gave him a bunch of supplements, just had him start taking it. Finally, about 6 weeks later, he called me up and he goes, man, I can't tell you something. I got to tell you something. I feel great. And then a couple months later, he said, man, I'm back at 100%. And what was funny is he went back on his psychiatric support group website, which I think I've told you guys the story before, and they told him that he was banned from that group and he could no longer comment or make comments on that website because he wasn't doing the mainstream promotion of generalized drugs, that he was talking about natural alternatives to depression and stuff like this, and they didn't believe in any of that stuff. The crazy thing is this, study after study after study has shown that just taking fish oil is more effective than taking Prozac, for heaven's sakes. So what I always tell everybody, Austin, and I've told everybody this for the past 35 years, before you try a drug that's going to cause you to become addicted to it, like ADD drugs, like Ritalin or Adderall, that are going to prevent you from being in the military, before you do all of this, why don't you try a natural approach first? Why don't you try supplements? Why don't you try really good, high-quality supplements and do it that way? And if they don't work, gosh, you can always use the drugs afterwards, but you don't have to take the drugs to start with. The same thing with ADD and ADHD. We put together a whole program called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy, and it takes a person through a systematic process of lowering blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels, and it does it all naturally. Now, I'm not saying you should never use drugs, because sometimes you have to use drugs, but don't make them your first treatment protocol unless you have something that has to be done immediately. Like if you get hurt and you have a shot or you've got a broken bone, well, yeah, get that fixed. Get it done. Do what you need to do. But, guys, just try to avoid all of these psychiatric drugs. Try to avoid all of these chemicals. Try to avoid putting your kids on these drugs. And, by the way, remember this. If you want your child to go into the Marine Corps as an officer, if you have any tattoos on your body, they will not allow them to go into the Marine Corps as an officer. They can't go in. Tell them, Austin.
Oh, yeah. Now, I mean, I think if it's something that's completely non-visible at any point in time, like on your buttocks, I think they don't care, but my question is, why are you getting a tattoo on your buttocks in the first place?
No, any
visible tattoos, period, they don't want you in the officer program.
Your recruiter told you, now whether he's right or not, but I remember all this. He said, any tattoos anywhere on your body, you're not eligible for the Marine Corps officer program, period. And now that seems, and because I remember I asked him, I said, do you mean how about a hidden tattoo? He goes, it doesn't matter. We don't want anybody with any tattoos. And you remember the Bible tells you not to get tattoos, guys. It tells you don't do that. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, I got it. I know that's Old Testament. I got that. It's still God's Word. It's still the same thing. Same thing yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, that's what the Word says. Jesus said, not one jot, one tittle will be taken away until all these things are fulfilled. You see, that's what you have to understand. God doesn't want you putting these pagan images on your body. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you running around with a bunch of piercings. He don't want all that. See, Todd, Sharon's half-brother who died, he was involved in all of this. And the sad part about it is he became consumed with it. So here's the thing. These tattoos, you can have them removed, but man, it's painful and it takes a lot of therapy with the lasers to do it. So why don't you just not do it? Why don't you just wait until you're 21 or 22 years old before you start doing all that stuff to your body? And how about this? Why don't you just not do it? I mean, because once you do it, it's a lot easier to get them done than it is to get them off. That's a fact. What's your next story, Oz?
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing I've always told a lot of people, especially, you know, when I was younger. I mean, if you decide that that's the route you want to go, I mean, we all have freedom of choice. If you want to do that, do it. But, you know, wait, like Dad said, wait till you get a little bit older. I've seen way too many kids start getting tattoos when, you know, the parents sign off on them when they're 16 and crap like that. And it's like, really? I mean, you don't even know how your body's going to fully develop in the next 10 years, you know, how that tattoo's even going to look. Why don't you wait until you're full grown and, you know, concrete rational thoughts kicked in and you decide really whether or not you want that and go for it from there? Because like I said, most people, you know, at 27, if I'm not mistaken, you're not even eligible for infantry in the Marine Corps officer program or OCS, period. So, you know, you get to a point like that, if you decide you want to get tats and you think there's nothing wrong with it, do whatever you want to do, but that's not something I promote. But it's just interesting that, you know, it's getting more and more now in the military that they don't want people completely inked up. New interesting one now, I brought this up many a times. The problem is these stories happen so often now, I feel like I'm repeating the same stories, and I'm not. They're different stories all the time. But Child Protective Services now, in a family, let's see here, out in South Dakota, basically abducted three children. Basically all three of the kids were going to a daycare, and the one infant who was 3 months old was at the daycare as well. The parents brought all the kids home. The one infant had a cut on his tongue, and they didn't know what it was from. The daycare didn't know how he got it, so they went ahead and took him to the doctor. They said, hey, he's got a small little cut on his tongue. We need to figure out what's going on with it. Well, as soon as they went there, they basically, the doctor there immediately called Children's Voice, which is a child abuse nonprofit organization, and they said it happened so fast, the next thing we knew, CPS agents were there and detective agents were there questioning them and wouldn't allow the child to leave the hospital. Well, the next day they go home, more CPS agents come to the house, eventually end up taking all of the kids, even the two other children that had nothing going on. They were normal age, I think 3 and 6, completely taken them now. I will not release them. Basically, you're blaming the parents and saying that they're abusive parents and that they aren't going to allow them to be back in their parents' custody unless they can prove that they're not abusive parents now. And the name of this in the family, let me see here, it's the two parents, Molly Bowling and Michael Becker. And so just pray for these guys. And, you know, if you live up there, do anything you can to help them out. But the problem is this happens so regularly now. It's really become a serious issue, man. They don't even have to have a search warrant. They don't have to have anything. They can just come and take your kids because somebody made an anonymous phone call like we've talked about before.
Well, no, Austin, I missed part of that. My Skype signal went down for a second, but I heard what you said in the beginning, and you're absolutely correct. This whole thing is that, you know, people don't understand how incredibly damaging it is when someone calls up the Department of Family Services on you and the stress that you go through. So, you know, I'm not saying that kids aren't abused. God, no, we all know they are. But all I know this, 700,000 kids a year disappear in the United States. And a lot of child trafficking occurs through some of these agencies, especially through the United Nations. And we need to understand something. It's better to keep these kids in church, keep the parents in church, and just stay away from all of these weirdo groups of people that want to turn you in for doing absolutely nothing. I mean, you treat your kids right. I mean, I don't believe in abusing kids. That's nonsense. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I believe in time out and telling them no and taking away privileges. I'm good with all that. But the reality is, you know, you may not even do anything and somebody just drops a dime on you and says, hey, so-and-so did such and such, you know. And all of a sudden, I told you guys years ago, I knew a friend of mine. He had a restraining order on a guy who had threatened to kill him. And the guy ends up calling up the doggone Child Protective Services and drops a dime on him and says he saw him abuse one of the kids. And it wasn't even true. It was total and complete fraudulent, made up. It didn't make a difference. The guy went through all of this nightmare stuff with Child Protective Services until finally they said, okay, you haven't done anything. We're good. We're going to redo the report. And what was interesting, my friend told me, he said it was crazy. He said the guy shows up at his house, like with a stack of paper to sign. First he wanted to see the kids, make sure the kids were okay. And then he hands him a big stack of paper. And he says to him, he goes, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. This is what the guy said from Child Protective Services. My friend, who basically is a pretty wealthy guy, he just picked up his telephone, got his attorney on the phone, and the attorney asked this guy to leave immediately. He'd already inspected the children, that he could not talk to that person again without, or even come to that house again without the attorney present. I mean, but I tell you what, though, wow, what if this guy hadn't had the ability to pick up a telephone and call an attorney? I mean, what a mess. See, no government agency should have that kind of authority. And if they come in and some kid's beat, you can tell he's been beat. Okay, whatever, I got that. But this guy was really affluent, and he hadn't done anything to his kids, and some ex-employee who had threatened to kill him, who he had a legitimate restraining order from the court, had done this. So it's kind of crazy how it all happens, Austin. And so just be careful with your kids, guys. They're super important. They're not going to be with you very long, and be it. Here's another article. Ireland is now pushing back against Gardasil. They've got a vaccine program. The vaccine program is becoming mainstream media, and they're talking about real issues with Gardasil and the injuries that are being occurring in Ireland. And I really don't understand how they're doing this unless this is independent media that's not being run through the Rothschild cartel that owns the pharmaceutical corporations. And so it says they're bringing all these kids on that have had all these horrible side effects from the Gardasil, and all their adverse reactions are being ignored. So now they're taking it to the public airwaves in Ireland, and they're actually getting traction on it. You know, I really wish, you know, but you know, the Kennedy guy, he's a big time liberal. Which one is he, Austin? He's the one who talks about the vaccines and the thimerosal. Oh, I've sent his emails out so many times. He's a Kennedy. I think it's Robert Kennedy. And he basically has told so many people for so many years that it's all of these immunizations that we're giving all of these kids that are causing all of these problems with autism. Now, I'm gonna caveat that. I believe the immunizations are involved. I really do. And I believe that this increase of Nagalase and the destruction of the GCMAF molecule and the inability of our body to use vitamin D3, that a lot of this has caused this, okay? But we don't know how all this stuff's getting into the bloodstream. I talked to another woman yesterday who's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's one of those folks back in the 60s who was injected, or actually didn't inject it. She took that live polio vaccine that was intentionally infected with monkey kidney cancer cells, and it caused a huge increase in breast and bone and brain cancer now in my generation's age. And the crazy thing about that, they infected 100 million people, Austin, 100 million. The population of the country was like 150, 140 million back then, and they infected over 100 million people with these vaccines that were contaminated. So all of these different things, and we talked about a few weeks ago about the human embryo placenta and human embryo extracts, all the stuff they grow this stuff in, how that's caused a massive increase. So I believe that Kennedy is right, and I think that the autism is caused by the vaccines, but I also believe that it's caused by a lot of other factors too, including the adjuvants that are being used in the vaccines. I also believe that it's being caused by the GMO foods, by the Roundup, by the glyphosate. I think this is like a multi-tier approach that the globalists are using on us to basically decrease the population of the planet, son. And remember, had it not been for immigration in the United States, we'd already been at a negative population growth because of all of the stuff they put in us, Austin.
Yeah, that's exactly true. New article too, you know, back in October, we were reporting that there was a significant lead crisis in Flint, Michigan, and their tap water. It basically had twice the amount of lead in it after it switched its water sources in April 2014 from Detroit to the Flint River. Now the county health department's finally declared a state of emergency because the water basically has become so polluted and so foul-tasting that they started testing it now, and there's really not a significant point as far as lead in the water that what they test for as much, but lead in the blood levels. And they found that a number of youngsters with elevated blood levels has nearly doubled in Flint. More than 6% of children in the zip codes with high levels of lead reported these elevated levels, and more than 10 micrograms per deciliter of lead in the blood is considered lead poisoning from the CDC. There is no safe level of lead in the blood. But apparently, it's getting very serious. There's significant health issues that are starting to come now. And, I mean, we obviously know, I mean, we found out a long time ago how toxic lead is. And it's been in the water supply now for over a year at an incredibly dangerous level. And nobody's done anything about it until now. And it's quite sad that they even allowed this water to be used in municipal water supply. This is one of the primary reasons why we always tell everybody, make sure you're using either a reverse osmosis unit or even better, a distilled unit, which we carry at our office, the WaterWise model. We have four of them. And that really does a significant job in pulling out all these heavy metals and toxins out of the water and leaves you with a pure distilled water. But this is serious, man. Everybody has to drink water. You can only go a couple days without water. And if it's contaminated or not, you're still going to end up drinking it once you start dying of dehydration. So, I mean, it's sad these people up in Flint, Michigan are having this issue with the lead in the water, but it definitely gives everybody even more of a reason why they need to have some type of water filtration system. Even if it's just a Berkey filter, have something as a backup to be able to purify your water in the event that it becomes contaminated for any reason whatsoever.
Now, the reason this is happening from the Flint River is that the Flint River is very acidic because of all the chemicals that have been dumped into it from industry, et cetera. In addition to that, from all the fertilizers and pesticides and all the different runoff, it changes the pH of the water. The water in the Flint River is not necessarily contaminated with lead, but what it does is when you have lead pipes, see, a lot of the old cities, they used lead solder in all of the pipes. And so these municipalities have these huge, huge pipes, 10, 12 inches across, sometimes 2 feet across, and they're running fresh water all over the place, and all of the solder joints are done with lead, Austin. That's how they did it. And so what happens, so when you run an acidic compound through that, what it does is starts to dissolve the joints. And that's why you pick the lead up in the water. This is one of the reasons they stopped using lead solder in homes, because it was doing the same thing. So that's why the distilled water is so important, because reverse osmosis will take it out too. Distilled will take it out too. But like a regular Berkey filter, unless it has a special type of black element, I guess, and it won't take out the heavy metals as well. It just can't do it. And so if you have to drink that stuff, just make sure you run it through a filter. But I recommend a distillation system. You know, go to healthmasters.com. They're like $300-$400 for a countertop model, about $2,000 for a whole house unit. Let you filter your ice water and all of your ice that you're making and everything else. That's what we have here, and they're really good units. They last literally a lifetime. You just get them serviced if they start going bad or the electronics get a little bit worn, but you don't have to replace the major part of the unit again. It's just very inexpensive to maintain them. But that's why it happens, is because the acidity of the water, again, a lot of that's caused from sulfur dioxide from coal emission power plants that aren't using scrubbers. Now, I know most of our countries fix that up, and so is Canada now, but it doesn't matter. Anytime industry is dumping all this stuff into the water, it's going to make that water acidic. That water is going to go through the lead pipes. It's going to start to dissolve the lead, and that's what happens when you mix lead and acid together. The same thing happened years ago with lead with children, with lead paint. Apparently lead tastes sweet when you chew on it. I don't know. I've never eaten lead. And they were taking these big sheets of paint off, because when I was a kid, a lot of the houses in our cottages were painted with lead paint. I mean, it was great. You paint them once in 20 years. You never have to paint them again. And then they outlawed the lead. And when you try to scrape the lead off, it would come off in big sheets. It was like, it was because you were painting literally metal on the paint, on the wood. And what was interesting about this, these kids were taking these paint chips and chewing on it when they were little and getting lead poisoning. And the only way they could reduce that or reverse that was basically using chelation. That was the EDTA. The Germans discovered this because in World War II, when they were building these huge ships, they were spraying them with lead paint because it lasted so much longer in the salt water and prevented the oxidation of the metal. And what happened is, these soldiers, these painters, were breathing this lead paint without having the proper ventilation equipment on, and they were starting to lose IQ points, and they were starting to get really, really stupid, because that's what lead does to you. It makes you kind of go retarded. And I know that's not a politically correct word, but that's what it did. And so what happened is, I can't say that word. Well, I just said that word. You guys deal with it, okay? And so what happened is, this whole thing was basically causing brain damage in these full-grown men. And so the Germans discovered a compound called EDTA. I think it's ethylene dietetracetic acid, but that's not the exact pronunciation, but it's close to that. And they found that if they injected that in real small quantities into the blood, that it would chelate or claw the lead back out of the brain and reverse this lead poisoning. And that's the only way right now still that's been approved by the FDA to reverse lead poisoning and heavy metal poisoning is EDTA intravenously. You can also take it. We have a product called chelation therapy, I believe. And then that product also, you take it orally, and it works okay because it picks up the stuff out of the intestinal tract. But if you really, really want to clean out those arteries, that'd take a long time doing it that way. It's a good protocol. But I go in about once a month, and I have a shot of this EDTA directly into my blood. It takes about 10 minutes to administer. You do it yourself. You plunge it in. They start the needle, and you plunge it in yourself. It takes about 10, 15 minutes to do it. And what it does, it goes through, picks up the aluminum, picks up the lead, picks up all this junk from the chemtrails they're spraying on us, and then we do all this on a regular basis. And it's called chelation therapy. And the main reason it's used is, again, to reduce the effects of heavy metal poisoning. So it's the only one that's really approved for that. So there you go. There's a little history lesson for everybody wanting to know where in the world the lead stuff came from and where EDTA came from. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I definitely I didn't realize that quite as much about the water contamination with the lead pipes. So, I mean, that's definitely good to know, and good to make sure, you know, we have people that are aware of that, especially in that area. Like you said, if you live in an area like that, well, generally, if you live in and you have municipal water or even well water, it's really important to at least have a distiller or some type of good filtration system regardless. Because even if you're drinking well water that may not be contaminated with a bunch of heavy metals, you're still getting a bunch of inorganic rocks like calcium that have absolutely no active purpose in the body except to plug up the arteries and the kidneys.
And one more thing, if you live in a house that's older than like 60 years old, you can't drink the tap water because chances are they use lead solder on the pipes. That's very, very important. If they use copper, they use lead solder, or they could have used some type of product that used lead inside the pipes. So if you live in an older home, please don't drink the water. I wouldn't even bathe in it without using a filter. And the reason for that is, if you have any type of acidity in the water that's coming from your municipality, even from your well, it can do the same thing that the Flint River does. So don't drink water out of a house with really old pipes. Really, really important.
Yes, absolutely. Now, this is about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, but they're good news, hopefully, if they don't try and reject this and turn it around, and the massive spending bill that was basically revealed, I think, on the 20th of December, they found now that there's two small paragraphs that contain language that may force the U.S. FDA to finalize guidelines for labeling of the recently approved GMO salmon or frankenfish that a lot of people refer to it as. The $1.1 trillion bill to fund the government through September 2016, the agency is instructed to ban the sale of GM salmon until it completes labeling guidelines and a program to disclose to consumers whether a fish has been genetically altered. The FDA is expecting to spend a minimum of $150,000 of funding to develop these guidelines. Now, we won't know later on until probably next year. Well, actually, that's like 2 days. If this actually is going to be, they're going to stick to this, or if the FDA is going to try and find some loophole to work around it. But I really hope they mandate this and make sure that the GMO salmon is labeled all the time.
I hope so too, Austin. It'd be something for all of us, the consumers, to have be happy about. Well, I hear our music. Yep, I hear it. And so, God bless you guys. Tomorrow will be New Year's Eve. We'll be here again, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Stay tuned right now for Dave Hodges. He'll be on right behind me. A good friend of mine, a true patriot, a man of God. Love the guy. Super, super good man. I appreciate all of your support. I appreciate that you guys are here listening today. And I appreciate you doing business with Health Masters. If I can ever do anything for you guys, please let me know. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You guys have a blessed night. Good night.